The Eddie B. Sit edition and audio series of the Talmud Bavli.
Masechet Sota has been dedicated by our good friends and Talmid, Mr. Haimi and Dina Dana, Hashem Yishmonem V'Chayim, for the success of their children, and especially the Fu'as Shelema Moshe Ben Dina, ולעילוי נשמת יוסף בן סרינה, דוד בן פרידה, נעיר בן זוהרה, משה בן פייגה רות, שרה בת אסתר, פייגה רות בת אסתר, אל אסתר בת יוכבת. רוח השם תניחם בגן עדן, אמן. תזכו למצוות. דף חב זין, today's דף is being studied, לעילוי נשמת מרת זקנתי, יפה בת שרה, ומור זקניר ביוסף בן שרה. ורבי אברהם בן אסתר רוח השם תניחם בגן עדן אמן תראיתיו את בינג סטר לרפואה של מעשרה רוחמה בתרחל ושרה בתרחל משה בן דינה אין לה רפנה להם רפואת הנפש ורפואת הגוף רפואתם כרובה לבו וכן ירסו ורמר אמן ובגין תראיתיו ונחה וו עמוד בית we are right on the bottom line of the גמרא אמר שמואל יישא אדם דומה ועל יישא בת דומה. Talking about a guy over here that has a limited choice who he could marry. He could either marry a duma or a bat duma. These are his only two choices. Both choices are really not so good, which we'll see in the Gemara, why not. But if he has a choice between these two ladies, so the opinion of Shmuel is better he take a duma instead of taking a bad duma. Now, what are these dumas and bad dumas? So look at the Rashi. Duma, nit'enet v'nidberet b'fi kol al ni'ufeha. Which means there's talk on her. Duma means there's rumors on the girl that she commits adultery and things like that. So therefore, better. That's a safek, but we don't know if she did anything or not. Now, either she's talking about a married lady, right? Then she got divorced somehow, whatever it is. Or she's a single girl, and she's committing snoot, you know, with people that are forbidden to her. The point is, rumors. We don't know exactly what she's doing. But she's a duma. There's talk on her. So the Gemara says, if your choice is to marry a duma or a bat duma, or the daughter of such a lady, marry the duma, but don't marry the bat duma. Why? So the Gemara says, Shezu ba'a metipa kishera. At least the Duma came from kosher seed. The Duma herself, her parents, the Duma's parents were legal. However, Vizu ba'a metipa pesula. The Bat Duma could be, is a, you know, that she says, Shema me'ovet kochavim o mamzer. You don't know who she was with. Right? The Duma could have been with a mamzer. If she was with a mamzer, the kids are mamzerim. Or she was with a Oved Kochavim, she was with a Goy. Right? So if she's with a Goy, so it's also so she's going to be considered an Irva. Oved Kochavim, no. If she's with a Oved Kochavim, also the kid is Pasul. See, he explains over here, just so you know the rules, important to know. So he says over here, right. A daughter born from such a union of a man, a married lady, or a unmarried lady that goes with a relative, or a mamzer, so the child is a mamzeret, who is forbidden to all Jews. If, however, the father is an idolater, it's Oved Kochavim, as we just read, then even if the woman was married, their daughter is permitted. Okay, so that's that. In this case, the dispute in our Gemara, the woman is only rumored to have cohabitated illicitly. There are no witnesses to the effect. Hence, according to the letter of the law, she's permitted even to a Kohen. Because we don't know exactly what she did. And so was her daughter. If, however, one has the option, so therefore the option is better to take the Duma. At least she's from a kosher seed, with a Bat Duma, we don't know who she was with. She could have been with the Mamzer, or Avit Kochavim, where she stated. Now again, I want to point out, halachically both should be permissible because it's just rumors. There's no witnesses for anything. You have a choice, a Duma and a Bat Duma, so take the Duma. You know, she's better. Now even though there's a risk taking the Duma,
Because now you're marrying a girl that potentially can ruin your marriage. Because she goes around. But that's the choice. It's better to take the tipa kesherah than the tipa besula. That is another logic. Rabbi Yohanan Amar, Yisa Adam Bat Duma. He says, no, go take the Bat Duma. The daughter. The Al Yisa Duma. Don't marry the rumored lady. Shizu omedet behezkat kashrut. Vizu eno omedet behezkat kashrut. Rashi. Shizu habat omedet behezkat kashrut. Which means she has a kosher status. She didn't do anything wrong. The bat. Umuter le ba'la. Right? She technically would be permissible if she was married. She'd be permissible to her husband. Ultipa pesualo haishinan. Derov be'ilot achara ba'al. We have a rule. The majority of bi'ot, we say, happen from the husband. So since the majority of what happened to the husband, the duma fools around, we agree. But she got pregnant, obviously. She had a bat duma, and she had a daughter. You could assume fairly that the daughter came from the legitimate father. Why? Because rov bi'ot happened by the husband. So therefore, there's a better chance that the bat duma, you say, she at least we have got kashrut. That's what we're worried about. You're going to marry, a person's going to marry this Duma. She's going to go fool around. He's not going to know about it. Because she does the things behistir. And then what's going to end up happening? He's going to go with a Be'isur. Because if she goes and fools around with somebody else, Ishtish, right? And she's forbidden. So the Gemara, the Rabbi Yohanan, is being practical. Rabbi Yohanan says, listen, the Bat Duma, you got to go with odds. Is she tainted? Probably not. Rov be'ilot, the Duma went with the husband. So you got to assume she's kashir. But this one that's rumored, you're going to marry her. What's going to end up happening? It's going to happen to you. She's going to go around and you're not going to know. So we have Machloket Shmuel and Rabbi Yohanan. Which one of the two girls is better to take? So comes the Gemara and says, what do you mean, metive? We have a question. Nose Adam Duma. Question against the Yohanan, Befirush Braita. No se Adam Duma. You have a choice, but take the Duma. Take the rumored lady, but not a daughter. So, Gemara, what are you talking about? Amar Bavetisbera. No se lekatayla. How can you tell me this Braita is legitimate? The Braita says no se. No se is master lekatayla, go marry. We always know we're not talking about lekatayla. This is only a case. There's nothing else. So, therefore, what does it mean? How can I say no se lekatayla? Look at Ashi. Well, for sure she's going to be mekalkel. Ela, the Gemara says, ela im nasa. You have to read it. If you will noseh the duma, it's okay. So once already you're changing the language of the braita, instead of noseh, te im nasa, if you did it, it's okay. Tenina me bat duma. So change. Once already you're changing, so change the whole braita. Change it from duma, change it to bat duma. So Rabbi Yohanan says, once I showed you the braita is a shibush a little, so if you can change it over there, you can change it to something else also. So therefore, just like when Nosei was lav davka, so therefore Duma is lav davka. It's also to say bat Duma, right? Now, Rashi points out, ve'anan name ki yamin yisa adam, ve'lo yisa lav lechetahila. Which means that she has a question. You're asking the lekatayla business, but Shmuel and Rabbi Yohanan also spoke in the lekatayla. Le'olam yisa adam, there's no lekatayla. Ella, she points out, it's talking about when there's nobody else around. These are the only two ladies left. So that's already b'di'avad. B'di'avad, where there's no other third choice. So then yisa, one of these two. But the yisa of their words are also b'di'avad. Nobody's telling the lekatayla, go take any of these tainted girls. A girl that's rumored about, or her daughter, keep away. A person has no choice. And then the question is, do you take the Duma, do you take the Bat Duma? That's the whole Safek and Gemara. Right? But even that is a B'di'avad, if there's no choice. Good? Comes Gemara, it's Vilcheta. What's the bottom line? Yisa Adam Bat Duma. Like Rabbi Yohanan. Ve'ad Yisa Duma. The Tarin of Tachalifa Bar Ma'arava Kemet Rabbi Abu Isha Mizana Banea Kishinim. You know why? Because a lady that commits Znut, her children are still going to be kasher. Again, there's no witnesses. You know why? Rov bi'ilot tahara ba'al. We said, majority of the bi'ot are by the husband. So you got to assume this kid over here was from the husband, and therefore he is legitimate. Good? Ba'ir of Amram. Okay. New case. Hayta pirutza biyoter mahu. I know you just told me Rov Be'ilo Tahara Ba, but let's say this lady over here is very promiscuous. So therefore, you could argue, but there's no Rov Be'ilo over here. She's going around, Mama, she's a pirutza biyoter, so maybe the Batuma really is not the choice. Right? Because she's a pirutza biyoter. Right? Because she says you could say Rov Be'ilo Teha Mishel Ahirim. Maybe the Rov Be'ilo was by other men. So the Gemara says, well, let's analyze. You know, there's a famous machlok in a Masechet Nidah, when a lady is most fertile to conceive. One opinion is, in isha mitaberet ela samuch levista, that she usually will get pregnant, samuch levista, close to her day that she gets a visit, her period. Which means, let's say, a day before. That's when already the ovulation is, according to one opinion, that's when she's most prone, right before the nida. There's another opinion that says, "En isha mitaberet ela samuch letvirata," that the lady is most prone to conceive close to tevila, meaning that night and the next day. Like that she says 2 days, but it really means the night and the day. That's the way they explain that she. In any event, let's speak it out. If you're telling me that what, Gemara, Alibad demand about in isha mitaberet ela samuch levista lo tevi'ilach. According to the opinion that says a lady is prone to give birth, right close to the visit, you don't have a question. Delo yadaba velo mintarla. The husband doesn't know when the period is going to come, and therefore he doesn't watch her, and therefore since she's very piritzut, you have to assume that what, she probably got pregnant from somebody else. Again, the husband is going to watch his wife to make sure she doesn't go around. But if he doesn't know when the nidah is going to come, and that's what you got, you can't watch her. So therefore, and she's a piritzuta lady, so you got to assume that what? That maybe the baby really came from somebody else. The question is, according to the opinion that says that a lady gives birth, gets pregnant, close to tivila, he knows when she went to the mikveh. So what? My. Since he knows, he'll watch her. And therefore, when she gives birth, even though she's a very pirutza lady, the baby, you could assume, happened from the husband. Because she's able to control her, at least on the night of the tevilah, because she knows what's going to happen. Okay. Or maybe say, no, she can't be controlled. Because she's a pirutza biyoter. So therefore, she'll find a way. So the Gemara says, tiku. The Gemara leaves it in a tiku. Comes the Gemara and says, ve'elu shebedin. Tera Rabbanan. Ish. The Torah tells us, in the Torah, I could have said, but Pazuk really says, "Ve'evia ish et ishto." Right, the man brings his wife to the Beit HaMikdash, to the Kohen. So it says, "Ish." Matamud omar ish, ish. What does it come? What does it?
Could have said,
right, but what does it say?
Ish.
Ish. Ish. Because I'm sorry, the pasuk says, "Ish ish ki tiste ishto." Could have said, "Ish." Why does it have a double language? So it comes to say that both ishet chayresh, the wife of a chayresh, somebody that's deaf mute. The guy is a shote, the guy's insane. The guy is bewildered, right? He has, all sorts of type of lack of da'at. And the lady's married to these people. Or the guy went overseas. Or the guy was in jail. So what do we say about these ladies over here? There's a chance that they're going to fool around because their husbands are not around. So Betin is able to intercede on their behalf. Shebetin mekanin nahem. That Betin can intercede, make a kinui, right? Don't go with anybody, and not to drink, but to mafsid her a ketubah. That if there's witnesses that come along and says she indeed was nistar, misterah, she loses ketubah. So the Gemara, Yaakon aflash kotan. You think that the Betin is allowed also to eventually bring her to drink? So comes the Gemara and says, Tavod amar vehevi ha'ish et ishto. The Gemara comes along and says that only the husband can bring the kohen, the lady to the kohen, and the mefarshim understand it is only the one that is mekaneh. Look at that, she vekineh vehevi hamkaneh la yeshkena. Okay, the one that made the kinui is the one that gives her to drink. Vei kasha bekinui name. Okay, let's just continue for a second. Rabbi Yose Omer af lashkota. No, you can also give her the drink. Very good. which means when the husband comes out of jail, based on the kinui of Beit Din, the husband can finish the process and take her to the Beit HaMikdash to drink. What's the machlok between Achemi and Biyose? Rabbanan savri ba'anem v'chine v'hevi. Right? The Rabbanan say no. It's got to be done by the same one. The kinui and the v'hevi is on the husband. Right? Not when the kinui is by the Beit Din. So here Rashi, v'chine v'hevi, hamkanela yashkena. והיא כאשר בכינוי נמיה כתיב את אשתו דמרת ודבעלה מקנלה ולא אחר המתרבה באיש איש right the pasuk comes along and says וכינה את אשתו oh and it says והביא את אשתו oh so we know that what וכינה והביא so it looks like the כינוי is done by the husband so the heavy has got to be brought out by the husband so now he's got to do both he's got to do the כינוי and the הבאה oh but what do you mean it says כינה את אשתו And we just said Beit Din could do. No, but then we have a gezerat that could do ish ish that comes to include. But without the ish ish, I tell you the husband couldn't make the kinui only, and he's the only one that could give the drink. So we have a gezerat that could do ish ish to come include that Beit Din can make a kinui. But the gabesh shtiyah, it's got to be the kinei vehevi. The husband makes the kinui, and the lady goes to drink. He says, you don't need it. Let the kinui take place by Beit Din, and the shtiyah could be by the husband when he comes out of jail or whatever it is. So that's a machloket. Can a lady ultimately drink waters of sota when the kinui was made by outside force was made out made by the Beti? Tarabanan. Asher tiste isha tahat isha. Okay, so about a lady. Asher tiste isha tahat isha. Now isha, the second one is ish shela. Now lady has znut tahat under her husband. Wow. So the Gemara says, Lakish ish li isha vi isha li ish. The fact that it says Isha tahat Isha, it's making a hekesh between the laws of the man and the lady and the man. Regarding a sota and the situation over here, there's laws that are parallel to the man and to the lady. For example, the Gemara says, Lemayel Keta, what are you referring to? Now we had this above, if you remember, in a Braita, but we didn't explain it. Now we're Gemara's explaining exactly what these comparisons are, Ish to Isha and Isha to Ish. Amar Rav Shishat Keshem Shim Hu Someh Lo Ayem Mashkeh. If the husband was blind, he does not give his wife to drink. Why? It says the husband did not see. It's mashma that he's able to see, but he didn't see what happened. Right? But if he can't see at all, so therefore he has no eyes. He's got to have eyes. Kachi imaita some lo aita shota. So the hadush is that the lady also, if she's blind, she doesn't drink. That's a hekesh to show that the law of the lady is like the law of the men. Just like we excluded a blind man from drink, giving his wife to drink, so we exclude a blind lady. Now we go the other way. Rav Asher Amar, Rav Asher's not arguing, he's just giving you the other direction. Keshem she'igeret v'gidemet lo aita shota. Aleitz higeret, she's lame, she can't walk. Or gidemet, she doesn't have hands. Lo aita shota, she doesn't drink. Why? V'chtiv, v'he'emi dekuhen et ha'isha lefnei Hashem. Number one, she has to stand in front of, right? By Shani Kanor, we learned she can't stand. So therefore, there's no law. Vinatan al kapea, and he's got to put the mincha on her palms. She has no palms. Finish. So therefore, she's a higeret or higeret doesn't apply. Kahu imaya higeret gidem lo ayam mashke. So too, the same law applies to the husband. If he's a higeret or higeret or a gidem, does not drink. So that's the hekish between. Isha le'ish, ve'ish le'isha. Good? Comes the Gemara and concludes, Mor Barav Asher Amar, Keshem she'ilemet lo aita shota. An ilemet is a lady that's mute. She can't talk. A lady that doesn't drink the waters of sota. How do we know that? Dichti ve'amera ha'isha amen amen. But the lady has to respond and say amen amen. If she can't talk, she can't respond. So she doesn't apply to the subject. So to him, if he was an ilim, he would not drink. So therefore, you see the laws are parallel to each other. The law of the lady to the man, and the man to the lady. Hadran alach arusa. Now we begin the fifth perek of Masechet Sota. Let's just read the Rambam on this halakha that the perek concluded in. The Rambam is... on Sota Perek Bet Halakha Bet, very interesting. Eshet HaSomeh O HaHiger O HaIlem O Mi She'eno Shomeya O Shu Kerut Yad V'Ken HaHigeret והאילמת, והסומה, וכרותת כף, ושאין השומעת. כמו זה קייס לגמרי הצד. כל אחת מאלו אינה ראויה לשתות. Not ראויה to drink. ואף על פי שהיא רוצה לשתות, ובעלה רוצה להשקותה, everybody wants, she wants to drink, he wants to go to drink, אינה שותה. אלא יוצאת בלא כתובה משיבואו עדי סתירה אחרי עדי כינוי. ויעשו הבעלים לעולם. So quote the Rambam is clear as was mentioned that she can make a she is subject to kinui and if the witnesses come along and make her say she did stira she's also subject to that as well but she cannot drink so therefore she goes out without a ketubah that's it she loses the ketubah so therefore it is le'enyan kinui and stira not le'enyan drinking okay now we start the next perek keshem shamayim bodkin oto. Right, just like the waters are going to check her, Shem Shamayim Bodkim Ota, Kach HaMayim Bodkim Oto. So the waters are going to check him also. We don't know who the him is. Is it talking about the husband or is it the Bo'il? We'll see exactly why for the Gemara. Shine Emar Uba'u. Right, the Pasuk doesn't say Ba'u. The Gemara has an extra Vav. Uba'u, to come and teach me what? That not only the waters work on her, but the waters work on him as well. Okay, so let's read that again in the Mishnah. Keshem shamayim bodkim ota, kach hamayim bodkim oto. Shneimar ubau in the vav ubau. Keshem sheasura lebaal, kach as actually some doresh ubau ubau. It says it twice in the parasha. Look at that sheet. Tap that sheet. שאמר ובאו ובאו בגמרא מפרש אי וו יתרה דריש is it the extra וו ובאו או ובאו ובאו יתרה it says ובאו ובאו twice in the parasha so is it either from the double ובאו or is it from the וו next thing כשם שאסורה לבעל כך אסורה לבועל okay that we know as well that just like she's forbidden to the husband she's אסורה now to the בועל now obviously when they get divorced she cannot go now marry the Boreal, how do we know that? Shene emar nitme'a vin nitme'a. Debre Rabbi Akiva. Look at Rashi. Nitme'a vin nitme'a vav yitera. Right? We not only nitme'a to the husband, vin nitme'a also to the boreal. That was Rabbi Akiva's Rasha. Amar bi Yoshua. כך היה דורס זכריה בן הקצב. Yeah, that was also the דרשה of רבי זכריה בן הקצב. רבי אומר, רבי says no. שני פעמים אמורים בפרשה נטמעה ונטמעה. אחד לבב, אחד לבועל. We don't go with extra וב. He goes with what? The fact that it says it twice in the parasha. ונטמעה ונטמעה. One for the בב, one for the בב. Actually, Rashi points out, it says it a couple more times. It's actually, it says it four times in the parasha. Look at Rashi. שתי פעמים. ונסתרה ונטמעה לב במנייני. If you remember, we learned early in the Masechet that ונסתרה, once the סתירה, והיא נטמעה, even with one witness, that's already can establish טומאה. After a kinui in a stira, already one witness. So we had a derasha, v'nistira v'nitma'a, even al pi edecha. So that v'nitma'a is already used for something else. We'll look at that she. Right. V'nistira v'nitma'a lo m'minyari deokim na l'tum'a v'da'it b'edechad. That was about tum'a v'da'it b'edechad. Yeah, but that's the context of that pasuk. V'eden ba'avad v'nistira v'nitma'a. That pasuk is used for that case where the one witness comes along and says she definitely did it. I had only one witness, but after a kinu nistira, one witness is believed. So that one you can't use. Ela v'kinet ishto v'nitma'a v'ayta in nitma'a. So those two. Now v'od ketiv ashet t'steishat adashav nitma'a. U'b'gemara darish l'Rabbi Akiva l'trumah. The third one, Rabbi Akiva's dore is that a lady that is considered nistira, she becomes forbidden to eat teruma, which means ehad lebaal, ehad lebo'el, ehad lebo'el. We're not discussing teruma in this Mishnah. Therefore, we're discussing the two v'nitma'as that we're going to osir, the baal and the boy. But there's two more v'nitma'as that Rashi says. One is referring to what we learned earlier in the Masechet, and one is referring to that she's asura to eat turuma when she is nistera. But we're discussing now the two, legabe ba'al and mu'il. Okay, so that's that. Now the Gemara says, bo bayom darash Rabbi Akiva. Now let's review what this bo bayom means. We learned the Masechet Berachot Daf Chafchet. There was the day that they deposed Rabban Gamliel as the president of the Bet Midrash in Yavne. They elected Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. On that day, they added a lot of benches to the Bet Midrash, and there was a tremendous limud where a lot of halachot that were unclear became clear, because a lot of people came into the Bet Midrash that day, gave testimonies, what they heard, and things like that. And there was a lot of people in the Midrash, so things became crystallized. So anytime the Gemara says, Bo Bayom, Baba was always referring to that day of Yeshivat Yavne when they were giving the drashot. Now it should be noted, what does it got to do with our Mishnah? The Gemara is going to digress now. The Mishnah is going to digress to different subjects, tumah and things like that. So that she points out, because probably the first drasha of Keshem Shasurah Baal Kakasurah Baal was also said Baba Yom. So therefore, we're giving other testimonies that were said that day as well. All right, so now we're going to start with the. That she tells us a story. Rabban Gamliel had a very strict policy in the Bet Midrash. He said any student that's not tochok kevaro, that's not through and throughout, cannot enter the Bet Midrash. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah said, no, anybody can enter the Bet Midrash. So it was said that day a lot of benches were added to the yeshiva. In any event, the Gemara comes along and says, now let's review some of the laws for a second. We know there's a law of Tum'ah. What's the laws of Tum'ah? You have a Kedi Hayres. Kedi Hayres is only metameh mitocho, which means you touch the outside of a Kedi Hayres with Tum'ah. For example, the Sheretz, which is an Abba Tum'ah. If a Sheretz touches the outside of a Kedi Hayres, nothing. Only way a Sheretz can be metameh Kedi Hayres is through the entering the airspace of the inside of the Keli. Now, a Sheretz is an Abba Tum'ah would make the Keli a Rishon, the Tum'ah. Rishon has the ability to metameh Ochlim u'mashkim. Whereas an avatumah can mitameh adam vekelim. Good, so now let's see, you had a piece of bread in the keli hayres. And you have a sheretz that was suspended in the airspace. The keli is going to become a rishon. The rishon is going to make the bread a sheni. Okay? That's what you see so far. Now the Torah's language actually is that kol asher yipol betocho yitma. Yitma is mashpah. Let's say tameh. Yitma's master has the ability not only to become tameh but to transfer tameh to the next level. That means if this piece of bread touches another piece of bread, the second piece of bread will become a shilishi. Wow. You know how tumah works, right? It goes down, digresses. Now, even though we don't hold like this derasha, because we hold a shilishi is only affects terumah. The more holy an item, the more sensitive it is to receive tumah. We do not hold that a sheni can make a shilishi by chulin, by regular breads. Rabbi Akiva is going to doresh now. No. Since it says yitma, that not only does the first bread become a sheni, which is no hadush really, because that's obvious. The hadush is yitma, it's able to make another bread of chulin a shilishi. Okay, that's Rabbi Akiva's derasha. Let's read it inside now. Bo bayom. Darash Rabbi Akiva. וכי חרס אשר יפול מהם אל תוכו כל אשר בתוכו יתמע. Anything that's in the kedi haris will become tameh. אינו אומר tameh, doesn't say become tameh, אלא יתמע, which means לתמה אחרים, למד על כיכר שני שמתמה את השלישי. You learn from me that a kikar that became a second a sheni can make another kikar a shirishi, wow. Even by chulin. That she taught to be akiva. Good. Amar biyoshua. Mi yigale afar me'enecha Rabban Yohanan ben Zakkai. Rabbi Yohanan ben Zakkai was much earlier. He says, mi yigale afar. He passed away. Who? They should uncover your eyes. You should see what's happening here today. He was saying, mi yigale afar. Who can reveal the dust from your eyes of Yohanan? Why? Shaita, because you used to say when you were alive, Ati dor aher letaer kikar shilishi she'en lo mikra min haTorah. There's going to come a future generation that's going to come along and say there's no such thing as a kikar of terumah to become a shilishi. Rabbi Hanan predicted. There's going to come a generation that's not going to be able to prove from a biblical source that there is a shirishi by a kikar of terumah. Shehutameh. V'halo Rabbi Akiva talmidekar. But look what's going on here today. Your student Rabbi Akiva mevilo mikra menaturah shehutameh. Not only terumah, even cholin. Mevilo mikra menaturah shehutameh shema kodesh shebetchol yitmah. So then we're saying, you were concerned that they're not going to be able to find the pasuk for this. Actually, they didn't find the pasuk. But later on, the Gemara is going to learn that the only way we know a shirishi by terumah is from a kav v'chomer. The Gemara is going to say it's a kav v'chomer. Mm-hmm. That was the Yohanan predict. They're not going to have a pasuk. They're going to learn it from a kav v'chomer. It's going to be a machlok if you accept the kav v'chomer or not. But here, now once the Yehoshua gave this derasha, so the Yehoshua says, oh, you were concerned that in the future they're not going to be able to prove terumah becomes a shirishi from a mikra. And here your student Rabbi Akiva already has a pasuk to tell me even cholin becomes a shirishi based on the pasuk itma. Good. And we'll wait for the Gemara to see all the derashot over here. Okay, next subject. Bo bayom derash Rabbi Akiva umadotem mechutz la'ir et pe'at kedma alpayim ba'ama. Torah is talking over here that you will measure outside the cities 2,000 amma. Measure outside the cities 2,000 feet. 2,000 amma or 2,000 amma. Cubits. Umikra achen amma. Another pasuk says, Mikira ir vachutza elef amma saviv. Measure outside the cities, and it is Israel, 1,000 amma. So what is this about? Do you measure 2,000? Do you measure 1,000? What are you even measuring for? So the Gemara says, "I efshal lomar elef amma shekivan neimar alpayim amma." The efshal lomar alpayim amma shekivan neimar elef amma.
Which one is it?
It says 2,000, so it can't be 1,000. It says 1,000, can't be 2,000. How do you square off the two pasuk? And what are you measuring for, bechlal? Haketzad elef amma migrash. This is talking about the cities of the Nevi'im, right? So they got certain cities or locations where they could live because they really don't get a nahala in Eretz Yisrael. So they got the migrashim, right? They got these areas. Area Nevi'im. I'm sorry. So outside of the Arei Leviim, you count 1,000 amma to keep it a migrash. Migrash is an open area, which means part of the beauty of a city. You don't just have the city itself without any grass and things like that.
Right.
So it says you have the city of the Leviim, and they get 1,000 amma on the sides for greenery, for parks and things like that, so to speak, to make it nice. So that's the elif amma that's talking about the alpayim amma tchum shabbat. The 2,000 amma has got nothing to do with making the city beautiful. Right, yeah. That's the law on Shabbat. You should know. You always measure 2,000 amma outside the city. That's how far you can walk on Shabbat. So two different laws here. 2,000 is a Shabbat law, and 1,000 is a, you know, beautifying a city law. Right. Now, Rabbi Elazar ben Osh Rabbi Yosi Gili Omer. Now, elif amma migrash ve'alpayim amma sadot uchramim. Right. He says that's all talking about the beautification of the city. Mm. Elif amma, it's 2,000 amma beautification.
Yeah.
1,000 of it will just be migrash, open space, and 1,000 will be fields and vineyards. So they were both pesukim are talking about nothing to Hom Shabbat. Talking about the laws of the Arei Leviim, how much space you got to leave on the outskirts of it. You got to leave 2,000. 1,000 of the 2,000 is just open area, and then the other 1,000 is going to be sadot and kerim. So 1,000. And 2,000. So all referring to the space around the Arei Leviim. Exactly. Okay, let's go to the next din. Bo bayom derash Rabbi Akiva. Okay, he was Doresh. Just let's read Rashi for a second. Migrash. Rehava pinuya mizri'a mibatim bi'ilanot. It's an area that's open, no houses, no trees, no planting. Leno ya'ir. The yotla le avir. That's so you can have air, right? The alpayim lo skiru le titen levim lo elu li tzet tom shabbat. According to the other shita, the 2,000 was a tom shabbat lo. Next, the shita dot ukramim. The alpayim sabib natul levim. According to the section, no, the levim get 2,000. Right. It's just splitting it up. 1,000 for this and 1,000 for that. So there's a fantastic malakut of how much property the levim get. According to the first shita, they get short 1,000. When the second shita gets, they get really
2,000.
Comes the Gemara and continues. Bo ba yom on that day. What's that day? The day that they deposed the Ban Gamliel in the Bet Midrash, when Rabbi Elazar ben Azar became the president, Darash Rabbi Akiva, as Yashir Moshe, Ubnei Yisrael Tashira Azot, Lashem Vayomeru, Lemor. Shem Tamud Lomar Lemor. Now usually the word Lemor is saying to somebody else. Now this is not saying to somebody else. normally in the Torah, Vedaber Adonai Moshe Lemor. It's good. God tells Moshe to tell the Jewish people, hence the word Lemor. Here they were singing a song. What's Ajah Shir Moshe Mizrael Hashem? Vayomeru Lemor. To who they sang it to? So the Gemara says, "What about the Gemara? Melamed she said, 'Onim Shira Aharav Shel Moshe Al Kol Dabar VeDabar Kekolim BeTahalel.'" They were answering Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu would start, "Shiru LaHashem Ki Gaugasu Surochemor Ababayam," and they would answer. They would say, "Shiru LaHashem Ki Gaugasu Surochemor." Oziv is a Machav Elishua, and they would sing, "Shiru LaHashem Ki Gaugasu Surochemor Ababayam." He would say a pasuk, and they would sing the chorus. So it was like they were answering Moshe Rabbeinu. Vayomeru Nemor. Moshe Rabbeinu, you say now, to say over. He would say pasuk and they would say. So it was like a chorus thing, a situation over here. Right, as she says, she'entu mullah mullah mullah, she'enotu melech ar le'moshe matura, she'shekhinah medaberet adibur le'moshe la'azor hu ve'la'omra l'Yisrael. V'akan elomar. Kekoret tahalel, we'll see what the Gemara, I explained to you what it means, Kekoret tahalel, the Gemara will explain to us later. And some say, lechan ne'mar le'mor. Rabbi Nehemiah omer kekorin le'chema. Some say no. They read the Halleh. They read the Azesh like they read Shema. We'll wait for the Gemara to explain what does it mean. Like they read the Shema. Velok kunit alir kut. Bo bayom derash Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Yoshua. So I've been Orkanus. Rabbi Yoshua Orkanus gave a derasha that day. Who's the derasha? Lo avad Yov v'tchelus baruch hu elam ehava. Yov served God. Yov was the. It's machlok exactly when he lived, but he was the story was written about him. He was the man that had tremendous wealth and beracha, and then at the end of his life, he was tested by the Satan. Really, not the end of his life, but at a year of his life, he was tested, and he lost everything. And still, Iyov remained, you know, his faith remained intact. So the question is, Iyov's religiosity, was it out of fear of punishment, or was it out of
love?
Now, the difference between love is, no matter what happens to the person, even if he gets punished and death and all that, he serves God, he loves God just as much. Fear of punishment is only scared, you know, for the impending punishment he's going to get, which is a lower level. So the Gemara says, you should know, the Yoshua ben Orkanus was Doresh, Iyov served God, Me'ava. How do you know? Shnei Emar. Now there's a pasuk over in Iyov, a little tricky this pasuk, it says, Hen yikteleni lo ayahel. The pasuk says, Hen yikteleni, and if you kill me, yikteleni. Yov's talking now. Even if you kill me, God, lo ayahel. Now the word lo, it's a machlok, how to read it. It's a kari uchtiv. It's written lamid aleph, but it's read lamid vav. That it's a big difference. Which means,
huge.
If you read it lamid vav, hen yikteleni means, even if you kill me, I don't care what happens to me. Lo ayahel. I love you, I anticipate you, and you know, I serve you. No matter what you do to me. So that shows what? He didn't care about the punishment. Unconditional love, exactly. Mashiach, if you say, hen yikteleni, if you kill me, lo ayahel. Lo with a lamed aleph, that means over here that he was like scared of the judgment over here. And if you're going to kill me, lo ayahel, I will not anticipate you anymore. Look at Rashi.
Wow.
Rashi says, let's read inside first. Hen yikteleni lo ayahel. Now, ba'adayin adavar shakud lo. Really, the item is in the balance, so because you can learn the pasuk two ways. Lo ani mitzapeh, which is lamed vav, or any mitzapeh, or maybe lo lamed aleph, which means I will not, which means it's not unconditional, which means if you kill me, I'm out. I'm not meaning punish me like death. Lo ayahel, that's I'm not. I cannot serve it. So it's shakud. It can either be lamed vav or lamed aleph. This pasuk over here is like can go either way. Look at Rashi. Lo ani miyachel o eni miyachel. Vachi kamar hen yikteleni halo hu horgeni lo ayachel lo. Od. Period. Deyesh lo shu nedrash kemo lo belamed vav. Sometimes you have a kani uchtiv. Where sometimes it's written lamed vav, sometimes it's written lamed aleph. So the question is, which way are you going to supposed to read the pasuk? So again, in yikteleni, if God kills me, you're saying lo yachmel lamed vav. I'm still in the program, which means the way of saying is, I'm not serving God for punishment, things like that. Adam, I serve God, me'ava. But if you put in a condition, in yikteleni lo ayachmel lamed aleph, it's a saying as if it's if you kill me, I'm not going to be able to serve you. It's mashma. Meaning, if you punish me and things like that, you're scared of a punishment of some sort. Comes the Gemara and says, so how do we figure it out? How do you know what the pasuk really means? The Gemara says, "Tamud." We have another pasuk. Ad egva lo asir tumati mimeni. He says, "Until I die, I am not going to remove my faith from God," which means Yov was really saying in this pasuk over here, unconditional. Until he's dead, including his dead, no matter what happens to me, Yov is saying he's going to serve Borei Olam. Now over here, the pasuk is clearly, you have to read it lamed aleph. There's no choice, which means even until the death, lo asir tumati mimeni. So you see that Yov really served God me'ahaba. He didn't make any stipulations or conditions. Melamed shemehaba asa. That was Rabbi Yoshua ben Hurkanus. That's his point. Yov served God mehaba. Good. Amar Rabbi Yoshua. So Rabbi Yoshua said, "This is Rabbi Yoshua ben Hananya talking now." Mi yigale afar me'anecha Rabban Yohanan ben Zakkai. I wish my rabbi Rabbi Yohanan ben Zakkai be alive now. Take the dirt off his eyes. Why? Shehayita doresh kol yamecha. You used to say your whole life, shelo avad Yov et hamakom ela mira. You held that you have served God only if you're part of the Shneimar ish tam v'yashar yire Elohim v'sar mera. The pasuk calls Yov yire Elohim. V'halo Yehoshua talmidecha. Yehoshua, the student of your student, which means, according to this understanding, Rabbi Akiva was a student of Rabbi Yohanan ben Zakkai. Rabbi Yoshua ben Hurkanus was a student of Rabbi Akiva. He's saying, your student is Doresh what? Lamad shebe'ahava asa. Now, really, in truth, just for the historical aspect, Rabbi Akiva was not a student of Rabbi Yohanan ben Zakkai. But out of respect to Rabbi Akiva, they put him up a generation as if he was a student of Rabbi Yohanan ben Zakkai. Rabbi Yohanan ben Zakkai had five students. Rabbi Akiva was not one of them. But the point is, when Rabbi Yoshua ben Hananya was talking, he said, that your student, meaning Rabbi Yoshua ben Hurkanus, who's a student of Rabbi Akiva, who for this derasha was your student, let's say, which he really wasn't, but out of kavod, he says he served him even me'ahava. So that's the derasha. Now the following Gemara, what it's going to do is it's going to take each section. Mishnah basically has four sections over here. It's going to isolate each section of the Mishnah and give an answer. But at least you have another concept that we're going to analyze on the coming page. We'll come right there on that. Amen.